This episode of The A-Team is brought to you by FaceToFaceGames.com, Canada's number one source for Magic the Gathering card singles.
I would love to walk up to him and say, hey, do you remember me from the Pro Tour? Yeah, it's like, you remember when you cast Grafdigger's Cage and I was playing eggs and then I went off and it took me 10 minutes and I watched you cry? And then walk.
Man, that was salty. Very scummy. You've gotten salty since I've come back.
Welcome to the A-Team Podcast, brought to your ears by ManaDeprived.com, home of Canadian Magic.
In 2010, a crack Magic playing unit was sent to prison by the DCI Court for mise they didn't commit. These men promptly escaped from a federal pound-me-in-the-ass prison to the Canadian underground. Today, still wanted by Wizards of the Coast, they survive as podcasters of fortune. If you have a problem, if no one else can help, and if you can find them, maybe you can listen to The A-Team.
KYT.
It's just like, what? Not everything I do is like horrible. You can't have it both ways, old man.
Jay Boosh.
Damn it! Why am I always so ahead of the curve and then somebody like Owen makes a deck popular and now I sound like every deck brewer on the planet?
Scotty.
It's actually a secret ploy for her to get you two to spend more time together. Your mom next levels you.
It's awesome. Yeah, like, seriously.
And Jeremy.
Do you know how hard it is to buy Korean singles?
No.
And when you put Korean singles into Google's, do you know what you get? You don't get Magic cards.
And now, the A-Team.
Hello, and welcome to episode 168 of the A-Team. You're joined here by your host, Jay Boosh, and I'm and also his co-hosts, Mr. Scotty Mac, who did not say hello.
Hello!
Jeremy Schofield.
Hey!
And Putin himself, KYT, the silent assassin.
Hello!
Hello!
Welcome back, Jay.
Wow, that was good.
I kind of wobbled on the end there, but that's okay. how's everybody doing?
Good. Our listeners missed you.
Oh, sweet. You guys didn't, but the listeners did. That's fine. good. What did I miss? What happened while I was gone? Because I didn't have any contact with the outside world, basically. At all.
Well, we had a bunch of sweet guests on in your absence, because we had to try to fill the hole somehow.
Right on, and?
It was good.
I mean, yeah, like, we were filling holes.
They were good quality shows, but the listeners miss your special brand of Janus.
Right on.
They miss the Boosh.
Cool. Well, I'm back. So I promise to never leave for 3 weeks again if I can help it.
So where did you go?
To the Dominican Republic. I actually went to the same spot I went to 3 years ago.
Okay.
We even went to the same hotel.
Wow.
It was actually like it was a good trip. It wasn't as good as the first time we went, but it was good nonetheless.
Is the Republic strong?
It is. It's very strong. It was overrun by Russians.
Oh, okay.
I don't know why, but like 95% of the resort was Russian. Or no, not 95. Sorry, 85% of the resort was Russian. 5% of the entire resort spoke English. And so that was a little difficult, but we did go down with a bunch of different people. Like, we went down with basically Megan's entire family. So, so it was good because they spoke English at least. Not that I'm like, you know, xenophobic or anything, but a little difficult to party down when people
don't speak English,
the same language as you, right? But it actually was a really good opportunity for me to learn Spanish, which I basically like picked up conversationally. So that was cool. Yeah, I tried to learn as much as I could just from speaking with, like, the workers and stuff. Because they make, like, $3, between, like, $3 and $8 a day.
Oh,
and,
wow.
Like, for them, it's a lot of money. Not a lot of money. For them, it's, like, enough money. But it's definitely, like, not very much money. Right?
Right.
Yeah.
So I tried to, like, learn as much from them as I could, and they were all really great, so I tried to make sure that I talked to them more than just, like, clean my room and do this, do that type of thing. And that was fun. Like, it's fun, like, learning a new language when you're not forced to by your parents and
teachers,
right?
Yeah.
When you're, like, learning it because you want to versus, like, because you had to.
Makes sense. Nice.
Yeah, so. So yeah, so that was cool, and I'm like, I look like a Mexican, I'm so tanned. Like, I'm super tanned, so people just start calling me Juan, no big deal. I'm fine with it.
Juan Bush.
Yeah, Juan Bush. Bush, that's good.
But yeah, so it was really good. I had a really great time. I really, really, really wanted to go to Santo Domingo, which is their capital, and do the pre-release in Spanish with Spanish cards. And they don't speak English down there. It's not like a country where like tourism is mostly English, so they speak like Spanish and English, which are their languages, or French, Spanish, and English. They just speak French and Spanish. Almost none of them speak English because it's a very international destination. Europeans love it over there. So, I thought it would be really cool. Like, it would be difficult, and I probably wouldn't, you know, win very much. But I thought it would be, like, very cool, you know?
Yeah.
Like a sweet experience.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. A sweet experience. But I didn't get a chance. It was 2 hours away from where we were staying, and it was, the capital has a lot of crime, and so I didn't want to chance that, being 2 hours away kind of thing.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, but I thought it would have been really cool, so it was in my heart to do the right thing anyway.
So you played zero Magic on your holiday?
Unfortunately, yes. Unfortunately, yeah. I was going to bring some cards and try to, find someone who could play, or, try to teach my cousin-in-law or my brother-in-law, but then I was like, nah, and also they weigh a lot, and, Megan basically packs our entire house anytime we leave the country.
Mm-hmm.
So... yeah, I decided that it just wasn't worth it. So I decided to go on to the beach instead and also start reading Game of Thrones Book 5 again, which is better than the first time I read it. So shout out to Mr. Martin for that.
Hmm. Did you finish it?
No, I'm about halfway right now, which is good because I still get to read it before I go to work and stuff now. So that's me.
Nice.
Yeah. But what else did I do?
Did you have a good time?
I had a great friggin' time.
And how was the clan? Did the clan have a good time?
Yeah, they did. They had a great time. Liz, didn't like it as much just because, there was... there's not a lot to do there that's not, just go on the beach.
Okay.
And she likes to go to, culture and, go to towns and putter around and do things. And I like to just sit on the beach and do whatever I want on the beach, right? So it's perfect for me, but... So she liked it, but she was a little bored after, 17 days. But me and Gary loved it. We would, we'd get up at, 8 or 9. We'd go for eggs, because they have the best egg there. Their chicken, and their eggs and their chicken taste, a million times better than anything I've ever had in North America, for sure.
Wow.
So we would get up, and we'd have eggs and an omelet and stuff. And then we would go to the beach, and then we would go to the pool and get hammered in the pool bar, and then we would go to the beach, and we would just sit in the beach, all day. It was sweet.
Nice. So,
yeah, it was great. I had a great time, actually.
And it's, all-inclusive, of course.
Yeah, of course, yeah. And, you can't... I don't think I would ever not do an all-inclusive. It's just too good to I prefer it anyway, you know?
Yeah. The challenge is just...
all-inclusive.
Oh, it's the way to go. The challenge is just finding a place that, is okay for the food.
Yeah, the food this time was shit, arguably. So we definitely that was definitely something that you had to kind of work around. I'm a dumpster, so I'll just eat whatever. But my other friends and guests were having a hard time of it for sure.
Yeah, see, when I travel, I like to be like a fucking prissy bitch. I want to eat at the best place possible all the time. That's my biggest expense.
Yeah, I'm not all about that.
I'm trying to figure out where I can find hot pot in Edmonton now.
You hated that shit.
I want it. I want more of it. Damn chicken livers.
Good God.
Chicken livers? What the fuck?
Apparently there's 3 hot pot places in Edmonton, so I'm going to try one of them out sometime here.
What is hot pot?
It sounds like filth.
Sounds like filth. It sounds like somebody heated up a toilet that Jay has puked in.
Yeah.
You know what? That's something I could see being on the menu.
Oh, God.
I can't really wrap my head around what they decide to eat, but it's like, okay, so you go to this place, and it's Chinese, and...
It's funny we never talked about this.
you have a grill in the middle of the table.
Okay, yeah.
So the hot pot is you order like a soup. So our when I went with KYT, we had like a big soup thing, like a pot of soup, and it had a divider in the middle. And one side was spicy soup and the other side was regular soup.
Okay.
So then they bring out this little sheet and you just order all these different types of meats. But it's like all the stuff that the butcher throws away. Okay. So it's like kind of regular meat. Like if you went to like to Safeway or something like that and went to go buy meat, all the parts of the chicken that you would buy are not on this menu. But all the parts that were in the chicken that no longer are for sale.
Like all the dirty, filthy shit.
Yeah. So it's like chicken hearts, chicken livers, chicken anuses, chicken beaks, like chicken whatever. So, yeah.
Hey, the meatballs are the safe bet for you.
And you
the
eat meat, it.
Well, that's because...
I ate one of those fish balls, and that was fucking terrible.
I mean, like, meatballs, at least, basically, they're taking all of that garbage, throwing it in a blender, and pressing it into a ball. Like, it's less of an effective than letting a chicken liver slide down your throat.
We could have ordered frozen spam.
Ew.
Apparently it's a delicacy or something like that.
Yikes.
So I learned a lot about the culture of eating that kind of food, which was fun. Like, you shouldn't use one type of chopsticks to do one thing and another type of chopsticks for
really?
Other.
So it's sort of like the fork thing?
No, not at all. No, you just use one thing with the raw food and one thing with the food you put in your mouth.
Well,
it's the whole
sense.
Not getting food poisoning thing.
Sure, that makes sense.
Yeah.
We're not that dirty.
Except on New Year's Day where they don't wash their hair. You lose
Whoa.
All the blood that way.
Yeah, I don't do that
so
shit.
Much.
Yeah. And on your birthday, you can't wash your hair on your birthday.
You don't wash your hair on your birthday, and you don't wash your hair on New Year's.
Right?
For luck? For luck?
Well, you lose the luck.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Like, if you wash it, you wash it all away, but I've never followed this shit.
You don't follow it.
That's why you're not on the Pro Tour, KYT.
Yeah,
that's
you keep washing all your
Pro
luck
Tour.
Away.
You're going
to
stop
washing
your hair.
Maybe that's why your grandpa wakes up and makes you food and shit, because...
He doesn't want you showering.
He's trying to scratch you.
Yeah, and also maybe he's just trying to look out for you. Like, maybe he's like a ninja grandpa, where it's like fucking, oh man, KYT's not lucky, and then also, look out for that car. Whoop-ah!
Holy shit, I just figured it out. Like the Buddha thing where they're all happy and everything seems to be going nice for them. They shave their heads so they don't have to wash their hair. They never lose their luck.
Wow, that's really...
That's deep. So awesome.
We figured it out. If you don't wash your hair, then you're always lucky. That's science.
That's science!
That's fucking... Wow. We thought the Asians were only good at math. Huh. It turns out not.
Turns out not. So your flights were good. How long's the flight?
Oh my god. So the flight there was great. The flight back was terrible. The flight
The flight there was great because you got to hang out with me in Toronto.
Yeah, it was so sweet. The trip started out so great. I stayed up all night playing video games so that I could sleep on the plane. Got on the plane, fell asleep before my ass hit the leather. Well, I guess it was probably pleather. And then I woke up, I'm standing in line for a Tim Hortons. Man, the people in Toronto are what the people in New York have been described to me as. Like, Toronto is the New York of Canada, I think. They're all just, like, stuck-up, cunty people that, like, don't have any normalcy. Like I would think, like, they'd be in line and they'd be very, like, in uniform and, like, they would get mad if you were, like, fucking with their shit. But no, they're fucking with everybody's shit, and then they're mad at you that they fucked with your shit. It doesn't make sense. I'm like, I just love my coffee and my donut bagel thingy, and you fucked it up! And then also, it doesn't look so sanitary back there, so maybe I'm not gonna go back. Then, I look over, and in all the gin joints in all the world, there's just this, like, skinny, handsome giant leering at me. And it turns out to be Scotty Mac, who is skinny as fuck now. Which was shameful for me, because I'm fat as fuck, he's skinny as fuck, doesn't make any sense.
Jay hasn't seen me since his wedding, of course.
Yeah, it's crazy. Okay. So it's crazy. He's skinny little guy. So then we spent like an hour and a half with Scotty just jamming on it, learning about his new life and his like secret messages and stuff, you know? He's got like this, what would you call it, credo, motto, something, positivity that he follows. This is where it seems to be working, which is good.
Okay, so story. I got shit on for being so chipper so early in the morning. Like, how can...
What the fuck?
Like, how can you be this awake and this alert and this happy at like 6:30 in the morning? And I was like, you just choose your mood, man. You just gotta choose your mood. It's easy. Choose your mood. So, anyways, yeah. But it was awesome.
It was awesome. And then then we flew to Punta Cana, which was also fine, and I think I also slept on that flight. Then, oh my god, then somebody must have died in Punta Cana. What used to happen is you would fly in to the terminal. And okay. This is me making my air quotes with my fingers. And it was actually just like, you know, a really nice airport made of asphalt and palm roofs. And there was no gates. There was no anything. It was just like posts holding up the roofs made of palm fronds. And you would get off your plane, no matter how big it was, with a ladder, like with one of those step things. There was no fucking tubes that you walk through and shit. And then you would just walk into the airport. And then like the security guy was kind of like, yo. And then you're like, hey. And then he was like, yeah, man, just go right ahead. And then like some guys were playing like those weird instruments that like, I assume poor people play. Like, one guy had a guitar that looked really, like, shitty. One guy had, like, a washboard.
Oh, cool.
He was playing with, like, a spoon. And it sounded great. Like, I was just jamming.
Bluegrass.
Yeah, like, and everybody's trying to be all like, oh, we're here and we're, you know, let's not make a scene. And I'm like, fuck that. I'm in Punta Cana. We're on vacation. I don't give a fuck what all these white people who are also on vacation give a shit about me. So I'm just jamming, stick my butt out. And then we were at the hotel for a bunch of time, and then we flew back. And the flight back was fucking terrible. We get to Pearson Airport, which is in Toronto. It's like the worst designed airport I've ever seen. I know it's not in the world, because other people have told me of worse ones. But in Canada, by far, it's just fucking awful. So the plane's 40 minutes late picking us up. Then we get to the gate in Toronto when we land. There's no people at the gate. Like, there's no workers. There's no tube for us to walk down. The pilot's like, just a slight delay here. One moment. And then we like look out the window. There's no tube. There's no fucking WestJet people anywhere. That was great. Then we get to WestJet. We have a connecting flight to go to Calgary. And we have like 3 hours. So we're thinking like, that's enough time to get our shit, go through customs, get on another plane, stand in line, maybe get a Tim Horton. Fucking nope. Because we're at the baggage carousel for 2 hours in customs. Because the excuse they gave us was that the trolley was broken. The little trolley thing that you put all the bags on from the plane, then you drive it to the airport, then you put it on a little conveyor belt. That little trolley is broken. And apparently this airport, this massive airport, has one trolley that every plane uses. Somehow. Yeah, that's what we were told. So we just sat there and watched everybody else get their luggage and go on. Then we had to run. Fucking we're running to our plane. And I was like, I'm always, you know, you're waiting for a plane and you're just getting on there. And then the people are like, well, attention, KYT. Your fucking plane is here, jackass. And everybody's waiting for you.
What?
So fucking get on your plane. You know, and you're like, what? Like, what's happening here? Like, why are these people always late? These fucking assholes, right? Now I know why. It's because they're connecting flights and they're getting fucked over by the one trolley. Yeah, so I won't judge those people anymore. Then we finally got on our plane and I fell asleep and I woke up when the plane landed. And, yeah, that was sweet. But we made it. We made our plane, like, by barely. They were just calling our name while we were walking through security.
Wow.
Yeah. And then what did I do? Sunday I went to draft because I, for some reason, this always happens. If a format is bad and a new set comes out that's part of that format, I'm always like, oh, it must, like, I, for some reason in my head, think that it's an entire brand new set. And I'm like, yeah, no more Theros. Now it's Born of the Gods. Woo! And then I get there and I pay my $15. And immediately, as soon as I pay my $15, I'm like, it's Theros, Born of the Gods, right? And Brian from Phoenix Comics is like, yep. And I'm like, ah, fuck. And then I go to Cody from Phoenix Comics, and I'm like, hey, how do you like this format? Because we kind of are the same. And he's like, it's fucking garbage still. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, okay, pervert. And then, so we did that. Then we did a team draft, but we were going to cube. But then stupid Jimmy was like, I don't want a cube. I will just go home. And then we were like, well, that leaves us with five, you piece of shit. And he's like, I don't even care about that. Ha, ha, ha. So then we were forced to do a team draft of Born of the Gods, Theros, Theros, in which we promptly went 0-4, 5-0.
Wow.
Just fucking crush those dirtle. And but there was no money in the draft at all. Like, I think in total, out of the 18 rares and, like, 6 foils, it was maybe worth $20.
Wow.
Yeah, so that was fucking sweet. And this format is not really, hasn't really changed. It's just still Voltron a guy a bunch of times, and then everyone dies. So I didn't really like it. And I lost. I fucking lost a Messian ass. I was like slamming the shit out of this guy in a black deck with cards that say destroy target creature. And he just goes Messian ass. And I'm like, oh. Yeah, I forgot about that card. Okay. Sweet.
So you didn't have the card that said destroy target creature
and then
at that
I'm
point?
Like, and then I'm like, oh, cast this card. And then he does something like, what did he do? I like tried to kill it with something, and then I used like Death Touch and regenerate my creature, and then he gave his creature protection, and then I tried to kill it with something, and then he like countered it or something, and it was just like, fuck! And then I had 2 more cards in my deck that killed target creature, and I couldn't draw them. I just drew lands for the rest of that game. And he just Nessian asked me over and over and over and over and over and over. And I still hate that card. But yeah, so there you have it. I haven't seen any really sweet cards from Born of the Gods, except I really, really like that new black guy that when he attacks, he makes you lose 2 life.
Oh, that guy's really good.
Yeah.
Oh my god, I thought he was gonna be like good, but then I play my land and I say go, and I have him in my hand and I have like 3 lands in my hand, so I know I'm gonna play this guy. Then I'm like go. Then the guy's like land go. Then I draw my card and it's a what's that card? Aqueous Form.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh my god, play this guy go. And he's like, okay, whatever. It's a 1/1. It'll hit me for 2. Then I'll just, you know, block it with this other piece of shit or whatever. And I'm like, untap Aqueous Form. You're fucking dead. You're super dead. Yeah. And then I killed him. Yeah. So that was sweet. I was like, I didn't even know I had this combo in my deck. And he was just like, fuck, that was garbage. And I was like, yeah, it's like Invisible Stalker all over again.
So you should love this format.
Well, except for that, that's like, those are 2 cards that are good, and then they just play Nessian Ass and kill you. You're like, so. And it's still, like, it's still a tricky format for me, because I, like, look at cards, like, all the black cards that are, like, you know, do damage, kill things, do this, and then it's, like, they just, it doesn't matter, they just play, like, green cards and kill you with the stupid, fat green cards, and I'm like, it just doesn't seem to make sense to me, you know what I mean?
How long has it been since we've had green as one of the like real centerpieces of a successful limited format? Like seriously, how long has it been?
Probably a long time, I would say. I don't know. It's like all the M sets were all blue was the best color.
Yeah.
Original Ravnica, like Ravnica block, Return to Ravnica.
That's only 10 years Selesnya. Ago. Oh, Return to Ravnica?
Yeah,
Return to Ravnica. Yeah, Selesnya, which was basically green. Like it was...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So, I mean, like, it's we're due, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But. Yeah, I guess so. And then one thing that I did notice about this new format as well, like with Born of the Gods, one thing that is actually interesting and that I would like to try, but I really don't want to invest in the packs / money. But red seems to be super open in Born of the Gods because everybody's like kind of on this bandwagon that red is bad in Theros, right? So then in Born of the Gods, they're not taking red cards, and then you like just get past things like there was I think it's called Fall of the Hammer, which is like,
yeah, that card's stupid good.
Yeah, it's a retarded card. There was like those were going like 6th, 7th, 8th, 15th pick, like they, like one guy had 3 of them in his deck, and then he got like all the Magma Jets and all the Lightning Strikes, obviously, right? Because yeah. No one was playing red at that point. And his deck, he like he beat a guy by playing one creature and then playing only burn spells.
Wow.
No. Yeah, like okay, sweet. And then, so that seems really interesting, and I'm curious to see like kind of how that would go. Like if that was a strategy, like if people could kind of pull that together, I'd be interested to see how that works. Just because, like I said, like it, It seems like it's just wide open in pack one.
It's.
Have you guys played any limited?
I played a release event.
Oh yeah, like on like a online or like a
yeah free... online. I played like a draft also, and I played blue green and draft, and I kept getting like all kinds of crazy bounce spells. And I actually went 2-2 because I played against the guy who went Boros and got all of the fall of hammers, like whatever nonsense.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
He got all the good red cards.
Yeah.
We were playing at a table with like a bunch of guys who had no idea what was going on. It really seemed like.
Yes.
So, you know, like you don't really get a good draft out of that.
Yeah.
So, but my release event, I played Black Green Reanimator.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. And it was awesome. Like twice I had the turn to the Satyr guy who looks at the top four cards and you put a land in your hand.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I did that guy on two. And then on three, I cast a Nemesis Immortals. Because I would throw three creatures off of that guy into the yard and then cast Nemesis Immortals for three mana.
Nemesis Immortals is that big bastard snake that costs one less for each card in your graveyard, right?
Yeah, the 5/5 who costs six but one less for each creature in your graveyard. Games out of the four matches that I played, I had him on turn three. And I was just like, this is the greatest thing ever. I was playing like Commune with the Gods. I was playing that little Satyr guy. I was playing the black self-mill guy. And then for like cards that affected the graveyard, like there's a new black guy who returns an enchantment creature to your hand.
Yeah, yeah.
So I was playing him because he's like a form of card draw with all like the self mill I have.
Yeah.
I was playing March of the Returned so I could, you know, draw cards that way. I had the Faded Revival, the black like bait card that turns a creature and makes it indestructible. So I just had a whole bunch of self mill and like that kind of stuff.
That's
and
the deck cool that works. Really That's well. Very cool. I like decks like that. Like
this, yeah, it's just
the,
like
the reason this format's like very boring to me is because like it seems like it's just like you just Voltron up. It doesn't matter what colors you're in. You kind of just Voltron up and then slam people unless you're playing like Boros, in which you're just playing like a bunch of small guys, kind of like how Boros was in Return to Ravnica, right? You just battalion them.
I feel like Boros is actually the most Voltron-y deck of them all.
It can be like if you're playing the heroics, but I don't think you have to play heroic. It's kind of what I'm getting at. Like, no. Like you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But yeah, like it just seems like any color combination you kind of pick, you could Voltron guys if you wanted.
You know? Yeah, well, Theros five color green was my favorite format in Theros. So
yeah.
I'm really just waiting to open up a Chromanticore. Like I really want that to happen.
Yeah.
I've been, you know, building up for that moment. But the Black Green Reanimator, like I tried playing it before in just Theros, and like the cards that you get out of Born of the Gods makes the deck better. So that's one thing that I really enjoyed. I was just missing like the powerhouse black cards. Like that's the only thing I really needed. You know, something along the lines of like a Gray Merchant or, you know, like any sort of rare type thing like that.
Yeah.
But I made that Spiteful Return guy, the guy who makes you lose life. I made that guy work. Like bestowing that on a guy and just like bashing in, like it just, their life total just disappears. And then putting it on, like, I had that on the Inspired guy that regenerates.
Yeah, that so guy just seems like good too.
Yeah, it was just like free damage nonstop. So, but it's like playing him, and then like you have like the Black Oak, so it's like you can like use like all kinds of crazy things. Like if you want a guy who makes zombies with Black Oak, you like pay your mana, tap them, make Black Oak bigger, untap them, get, you know, get the good stuffs.
Nice.
Yeah.
That seems really good too, that like using that guy to like just ranch people with Inspired. Like I saw somebody doing that with the guy that makes 2/2 bird. That guy seems very powerful.
Well, with like Oracle's Insight, that card's really powerful. The 4-mana aura that like you tap, scry one, and then draw a card.
Yeah.
So it's like throwing that on Inspired guy, it's just like pretty sick.
Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty crazy. Wow. Yeah, and like I don't know how, like I haven't kind of been paying attention to how good those cards are, like because you don't see very many of them because there's only one pack of Born of the Gods, right? So
yeah,
like you see enough of them, but I mean in my matches, like I'm not seeing like a high concentration of them. But I mean, they seem like they have powerful effects if you can get them to work. I didn't see any of the combat oriented ones. So I'd be interested to see kind of how good those ones are. Like, and when I say that, I mean the ones that are like the one that's like, what, it's a, for 2 mana, it's a 1/1, and when it attacks, or when it untaps, sorry, you can put like a 2 1/1s into play or something? Is that one?
Okay.
Is that one that actually exists? I think it is, right? Isn't it?
Yeah, like the God favor. Yeah, that's the God favor general. Like, you can pay three mana and put 2/1/1s into play.
Yeah, so he seems good. The only problem is that like I don't know how many times you're gonna get to attack with him to use it, right? Like he seems like the kind of guy that you get to attack with like once and then get two guys, and then other than that, you're kind of hooped probably. But I don't know how good they are. I think this set seems to be a lot like kind of a Voltron, but a lot of it seems to kind of be a lot of evasion. I think if you can kind of do lots of evasion, then you're kind of set. Like,
yeah,
like what are people going to do kind of thing, you know? And cards like that are really powerful, right? You're just making free guys every turn.
That's why I like the blue one, Jay. Crazy. Like the blue one makes 2/2 flyers, and it's
yeah, like
a 2/4.
That seems ridiculous.
The blue one, the black one, like those I think are like probably your two best for those ones there. Like the Raiders are pretty good. The green one, like being a 5/5, like it's hard to block that guy and kill him. The red one's kind of like tricky, but putting 3/1s into play is pretty good. Like, yeah,
it's like a 3/1 with haste.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, they come in and they lay down the beats.
So we can bash pretty quick.
Yeah, that's a pretty sweet card.
Man, so like, did you guys play? I guess you didn't play a whole lot. It sounds like, but did you guys like find that they made an impact, or what did you guys figure?
I feel like it. I feel like they've added a lot more removal.
Yeah.
Like, that was, like, you know, like, the one thing. Like, they don't have a lot of, like, you know, kill a Voltron removal, but they have a lot of things that kill the things that are about to get Voltroned.
Yeah.
So, like, everything's got a lot of early removal. Like, Black has this card called Necrobite, which I think is just, like, really sweet.
It seems good, yeah.
I really kind of like that. Blue got, like, you know, their Essence Scatter card, which is really helpful for them.
At double blue, though, which I thought was kind of odd.
I think it's still worth it.
I think it is too, and I've seen people just super blown out by it. It's kind of like, and then like I said, it's kind of like a null. Like, you get a good creature with it, or you get like a good bestow guy with it, right?
Yeah.
The thing that I would like to see is like exile target permanent and all permanents like attached to it, or something like that, or like or like an all is dust. Like, I would love to see a card that punishes Voltron a little bit more, because right now I still kind of feel like it's like, well, they Voltron and you have a removal spell. What are you like? What else do you do? You just die from Voltron, or you die from killing the Voltron, and then they have 10 guys now instead of...
Yeah.
That's what you need, is you need a card where it's like, gain control of all auras attached to target creature, and then destroy it.
Yeah, like,
so
or...
That
like,
you
or,
get
yeah,
all, like, the eye
like,
on it.
That's like the penultimate fucking blowout card, right?
Yeah, absolutely, but it's like the... What was the red card that blew up all your equipment? Or...
Turn to slag.
Yeah. Like, that card always felt like a super blowout. Like, I want that card, but...
They need a card like that. Like, a card that, like, punishes you for Voltroning. Because Voltroning is so prevalent and so powerful. You know what I mean? Like...
So, has the format... Like, I haven't played enough Limited, but let me... You know, I've played a pilot release of Theros, and I totally skipped this one because, I mean, it's a small set and it's not worth the time. But... Is the format sort of... Before, it was like people were playing out their guys. Like, and there wasn't a whole shit ton of bestowing going on. But, like, has it literally just evolved now to play a guy and then bestow as many things on it as possible, and then when you kill that, just keep doing it? Like, is it almost like a rugby scrum? You know what I mean?
Like, somewhat, but I mean, I also think that I've played more Theros than just the release event, mm-hmm. and I felt that it was very bestow-heavy. Like, once people figured out that you could basically use bestow with heroic as well, it just became like play a 2/2 flyer with heroic, bestow every creature onto that card until you get the Sphinx, put Aqueous Form on the Sphinx, or like Thassa's Revenge, where it's like, you know, they're playing creatures trying to block your Voltron, and all you're doing is just bouncing three of them and putting them on top of their libraries and shit, right? Like, for example, to kind of as a segue here, but like, I was talking to TSG the other day about my cube, because I was asking him questions on Twitter about like 2/1 flyers for two and how many he has in his. I just asked for basic information for everybody, like how many 2/1 flyers for two do you have in your cube? And most people came back with an answer between like, say, like 5 and 20 or something, or 5 and 10, sorry, just 2/1 flyers for two. And he came back with an answer of 11, And then I said flyers only, and he was like, oh, fuck, well, let me recount. And then he came back with an answer of zero, which I thought was, like, really surprising, that he's playing 0-2-1 flyers for two. Because I think that's a really powerful follow-up. Like, when you go turn one guy, turn two power flyer, like, that's four power on the board in white. And he says he doesn't play them at all, so, you know, I kind of thought it was a little odd. And we started talking about kind of stuff, and he looked at my cube, and he said, like, holy shit, do you ever punish people for attacking or playing, like, one guy and suiting up one guy? And I said, yeah, like, there's a lot of bounce, there's a lot of, you know, stuff like that in the cube. Like, there's like, a lot of Doomblade effects and stuff like that. And he said, well, what's the big issue? And then we kind of looked at his cube a little bit more, and it's not as focused on single target removal, but his cube's also not as focused on big, powerful threats. It's like, he has like, token synergies and stuff, but that's kind of how I feel like Theros is too. It's like, you have a lot of single target removal, and it's gotten better with Born of the Gods. But the problem is, like, because of the way that they made the ruling on Bestow, you don't need single target removal because it's almost worse. Like, if they play two guys, like they play a guy that, like a very common guy that you'll see is the 3-2, or sorry, the 2-2 flyer for three in white.
Yeah.
And that's a very powerful card. It's already a 2-2 flyer for three, which we already know, like Windrake and stuff, like those win limited games, right? Then you have it that it has heroic +1/+1 counter. Then you have so many tricks in the format. Then you have bestow. So then you just bestow one thing on it. So it minimum gets +1/+1. Then it gets a +1/+1 counter. So now it's a 4/4 flyer that hits you, right? So now you're on a minimum of 5 turn clock. And then if you kill it, he just gets a guy to replace it. And like, imagine how bad like Doomblade would be if it said like destroy target creature, put a 2/2 flyer into play.
Yeah. It turns into a flying Thrag Tusk.
Yeah. Like, and it's very different. And like, that's the stuff that feels kind of bad, because it's like, I'm taking removal in my first pack of Born of the Gods. Like, it's all this black destroy target creature removal. And then it just makes me feel bad because they just play heroic guys and bestow a guy on it. And then I'm like, do I die to this bestow, or do I die to the guys that I create by killing the bestow?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that feels bad to me. That makes all of my decisions feel bad, and that's not
so
what I
it's
want
like to. A lose-lose, right? Like, there's no right way to do it.
Yeah, and that's not what I want when I play Magic, right?
It makes sense. Out of all the times you've said I hate formats and the limited whatever is garbage, this is the first time you've really articulated yourself really well.
Yeah, that's true.
Thanks for backing your shit up.
You know what? I feel like I'm long in the tooth. I've been doing this for like 4 years. Sometimes I shouldn't have to back my shit up, Jeremy.
Hey, no, man. No, I'm loving it.
So no, it's good, because you know what, like, it's been tough for me, like, not playing a lot of limited and just listening to, you know, you guys talk about it. I mean, for you to say it's terrible, it's just all Voltron, well, like, who cares, you know? Like, yeah, that's
I think
the format.
It's all Voltron, though. I think that there are Voltron decks. I think like the Boros decks, like the heroic decks, are very Voltron-y.
Mm-hmm.
But I think where, like, you kind of get fucked, and why it always feels like it's the bestow guy, is that you, like, you'll get into like these mid-range games, like against the green decks, and you'll have your big guys and he'll have his big guys, and it all comes down to whoever gets the bestow that grants the ability that makes him, you know, go over the top.
Yeah.
And that's
who's got the more tempo plays to slow them up, right? Because I mean, like, the blue green's really good for that.
Yeah, like, the tempo plays, like, that's the thing, is you can play like the blue green, you can have this tempo game and you just like run the other guy over, but like, sometimes you just get into those stall matchups, and then it's like, oh, they drew their trample guy, or oh, they drew their guy that gives flying. Like that's the type of stuff where it's like, oh, God. Like, one of the things out of Born of the Gods that, like, is now, like, the new thing where it's like, it doesn't have to be bestow, is, like, these, like, archetype cards.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the white archetype was just, like, so oppressive, because on turn three, all of his creatures have first strike now.
Yeah.
The blue one's dumb.
Yeah, I was playing blue-green, so it's like, I put, like, a wolf, and then I put, like, a Nessian Asp, and I have, like, the board, and we're in, like, this lockup situation, and then I cast it, and it's, like, Alpha Strike Handshake.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, the blue one's crazy, but it does cost six.
It does cost six, but everything in the green deck costs six, and you have, like, infinite ways to ramp your mana or make sure that you're going to hit your land drops every turn.
Well, the other thing, too, is that, like, that's when you want it is at six, because you don't want it at three when you have no guys. You want it, like, to play it like an overrun.
Exactly.
Yeah, absolutely, and that's how I was playing it out. Like, it definitely plays like an overrun. And, like, you're playing such big guys, and you're doing all these things that they've usually burnt out the removal by the time he shows up. But it's just, like, I haven't played with the black one yet, but I imagine the black one is just as oppressive. That's giving all of your, like, little dorks death touch.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well.
Yeah, they do seem very powerful. And yeah, I haven't played with them or had them played against me, but they do seem very powerful.
No, they're insane. And I also, like, I've changed the way I play just because there's that green guy that gives any of your guys taunting elf. That guy can just, like, win a game.
Oh, yeah, nope. That guy... out of nowhere can just win a game.
Yeah.
What? But for me, it's not like the bestow part. It's for me, it's when like they like ordeal me and I just don't have an answer and the guy's just too big and I've taken too much damage to like really ever come back. That's what I hate. But
like, has Born of the Gods removal improved that anyway?
I feel like it has, yeah.
I'm not sure. I don't know. I'd have to look at it. What are the spells that can come down on, like, tier 2 or 3?
Well, you're looking at, like, Searing Blood's probably pretty good.
Yeah.
You know, and, like, I feel like there's a bunch...
See, like, Searing Blood is a really good card for Born of the Gods because it absolutely ranches the people that play the Ordeal.
Yeah.
Absolutely just fucking ranches those guys. And that's what you needed because, again, going turn 1 guy, turn 2 Ordeal feels so terrible on one end and so great on the other. You needed to, like, even the playing field there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I feel like Searing Blood's actually a really good answer.
Good. Not if they have, like, a Hoplite. That's when it's fucking...
Well, yeah. Yeah.
Get another counter, too? Like, what the fuck?
Great. Yeah.
But, yeah, you have to have the Eye Gouge ready for that one.
The Eye Gouge.
The Bipop. Nice.
Yeah, no, like, that's where it's, like things like Necrobite, like, you can kind of, like, beat up on his guy. But, like, a lot of the removal and stuff like that doesn't come down to, like, turn 4, but, like, you can get rid of auras, you can do some things. You know, black and red obviously have the best tools for dealing with, like, the early dork. White is really going to, like, give you the ability to exile it when it becomes too difficult to deal with, like, when it gets bigger. Blue, you're just doing, like, your standard bounce bullshit. Maybe you get to counter it on its way down. Yeah, and then green, you know, you get rid of the aura and you try and race out a big fucker. So,
so exciting stuff, obviously, in store for those of you that are coming to GP Montreal, which is, of course, Theros, Born of the Gods Limited.
Right.
So, you guys make sure you're ready for that. Make sure you're ready for the insane mana-deprived party, which we are running, of course, at GP Montreal. So Spruik will be there, spinning some unbelievable tunes for us all night at the Plateau Lounge in the W Hotel. So make sure that that party starts about 10 o'clock, so you're going to want to get your food and tell everybody and your mother to come. There's no cover. Just come on in and enjoy the bevies and the party. So, yeah, it's going to be awesome.
Woohoo!
I just want to hear Spinning Stars. It's one of his songs. I like it.
We're like, yeah, me too. Spinning Stars. Yeah, totally. Oh, it's one of his songs. Oh, okay, perfect.
Yeah. It's a good one.
So, Standard.
See, now here's the other thing. I need to learn about Standard because I, for some reason, have signed up to be a... I don't even know what they call those people. The people who commentate on streams.
Wow. Commentator.
Yeah.
Commentator.
I have signed up to be Analyst. A commentator for a PTQ, a local PTQ.
You're doing it for the fine folks at Trinity?
Trilogy, yes.
Trilogy, that's the one.
Yeah.
Sweet.
So, Jer, are you going to this PTQ?
I have to work.
Ah, garbage head.
I know.
Garbage head.
It's like it's the weekend before Montreal, and like as much as like there's a part of me that wants to be like, oh, I'm just not going to be here on Saturday, guys.
Yeah,
and
that would be
trying to do the whole day trip thing. Like, I just not. It's not realistic.
Sure. Yeah. Well, Jay, what do you know about Standard?
Okay, so this is the thing. I haven't talked or seen or heard anything about Standard since before Born of the Gods. So just like things like Mono Black being the best deck.
So yeah, he never understood it.
Yeah, like I never did, and I don't know if it still is. I don't know what cards are making an impact. I know Brimaz is $40, even though I have seen him in zero lists.
Yeah.
So that's always good for the fine people that play Cube and want a Brimaz. But yeah, I actually, to be honest with you, I need to basically is as if I've never played Magic before, Standard before. I need to learn it all, in about 2 weeks.
Cool.
Wow. Yeah.
Yep.
I would probably watch the. Well, no, it's Protra weekend, so there's. Is there an SCG event this weekend?
I think so.
Okay, well.
Let me double check.
And you can't watch the Pro Tour and the SCG event at the same time.
You can.
You can.
You can.
The Pro Tour was going to happen in the middle of the night.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, the Pro Tour starts for us at like 3 in the morning over here.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck. Where is it?
Valencia, Spain.
Cool.
Oh,
man. Little Tim is going to go there. And I don't remember his last name because it sounds so awesome. It's like Tim Ugrenhabeschneben. But he's been playing Magic for like maybe 2 or 3 years. And he won a fucking, like a PTQ finally. And gets to go. How sweet is that?
That's pretty awesome.
Friggin' awesome.
St. Louis this weekend.
St. Louis. And it probably won't get canceled, hopefully.
Hopefully. Standard Saturday, Sunday Legacy. It looks like the all-star team of Cedric Phillips and Patrick Sullivan will indeed be in the booth for that one.
And, like, I should probably watch it so that I can, like, learn how to be a good commentator.
I would probably suggest that. And you know what? It's really tough to get two better than Cedric and Pat. Yeah,
they are, like, probably the best duo.
They've got the polish. They really know what's going on. And they've got a really good candor and rapport. And, yeah, and I mean, it's Standard, right? It's now the second or third week that Born of the Gods has been out. The decks are starting to get a little bit more tuned up. You'll see some good stuff. I think it'll be a really good event to watch. If you're not watching the Pro Tour.
Yeah, as far as, like, commentators go, like, they have to be the best combination.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Like, available. I think so.
They've watched enough. Like, they're both really heavily into basketball. And I think as a result, they've both sort of taken a lot of that and made it important, like the big ESPN folks, you know.
Yes, yeah.
So,
yeah. So I'm gonna try to bring it. I don't know. I could kind of care less if I suck and everyone makes fun of me or not. I just kind of want to help them out, and I think it'll be fun, and you know, whatever. I mean, if I would have known that it was Standard, I might have played it. I think when I originally agreed to do it, I kind of thought it was gonna be Theros Sealed, but what does I mean? That's fine. I don't mind. I mean, it'll be fun. It'll be, like, fun to kind of explore another avenue, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sure I'll be terrible and everybody will tell me so and I'll make mistakes on camera, but who cares?
You know what else you can do as well is there's a stream that I tend to watch Friday nights if I'm not out at FNM and I've got some time to myself, is I'll watch the Zach Sells Magic stream.
Oh, yeah. That guy's awesome, by the way.
And he's very good at the gig, so that's another one to watch, too. And he basically does it most of the time all by himself.
Oh, really? And it's like their FNM or something, right?
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. But they're really organized. They've got it. They've been doing it a while, and it's a good show. It's worthwhile.
Right on. I'm going to have to check that out.
You should.
But yeah, so that's interesting. That's my next endeavor. And I'm going to try to tolerate Standard a little bit. And yeah, I think that'll be fun.
Sweet.
Yeah.
If you could tell me all about their setup, I'd really appreciate it. Like how they're actually doing their streaming setup and everything like that, because it's something I've been working on over here. I want to try and do that kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah, okay. Sure, so. Just get some GoPros, man.
I do want to go GoPros. I looked into GoPros, and GoPros just don't have a zoom. So you have to, like, really position them well and everything like that. So
yeah, put them on the player's head.
Yeah, I know that. But I've been looking at cameras, so I'm probably going to be picking up a camera right away here, and then once I get one working, then I want to set it all up because, like, there's this buddy of mine who runs these tournaments and he doesn't do any of this shit. So I figured if I figured it out, then, you know, he'd appreciate it.
Also, you could charge him a boatload of money.
Yep. Well, I don't think that would ever happen, but.
Hashtag Rashad Evans.
Hashtag Baller G.
Yeah.
Yeah, you gotta get that dollar there, union guy.
Rashad Miller, sorry.
Dem dollars.
Oh yeah, Rashad Evans is a different guy with money.
Yeah, he's an MMA fighter.
He's a boxer as well.
Same Scotty.
He still applies.
He's an MMA fighter.
All black guys are the same person. So I'm offended by it.
Hey Juan, shut up.
Hello.
Get back on the truck, Juan. Fuck.
How did you get in here?
That's right.
Typical scab.
Typical scab. Yeah,
typical scab is Mexican, will work for cheap. Wow.
Yowza. So I've been playing a bunch of standard. I have a GPT this weekend.
Oh, man. Okay, so how's that been going? What have you been playing?
So I was playing Naya Monsters before Monster. Born of the Gods. Yeah, Monsters. I was definitely on Monsters. I like a lot of the proactivity that goes along with that deck, and it feels like it's just sort of, it's not one of the top two, but it's still in the discussion, so I feel like it's got, you know, reasonable game, and it's one of those, it's just a general good deck, and it's sort of my speed. So I was playing that, I was splashing, it was like green-red monsters, splashing the white for some better removal, and so Cedric went ahead, and, I mean, red-green got a pile of stuff with Born of the Gods. I mean, like, Xenagod's dumb.
Yeah,
right? That card is
the
just
the one that gives all your guys double haste, right? Or double power and haste.
Gives one guy, yeah, one guy each turn, double power and haste.
Like that's
double haste.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, turbo powered rocket slug.
Yeah, double haste. You could play it from your hand, and he attacks, and then he also has haste when you play him the next turn.
Yeah,
yeah, you can give him haste on the next turn.
Yeah, double haste.
You can have haste twice.
Yeah, double idiot. Haste. Don't you know anything?
No, I don't know anything.
No.
But, so I've been playing that, and it's been good. I was playing green-red for a while, like just the green-red list on its own. I was playing that up pile on beta, and Kent Ketter ended up doing, he came in second place with a build that ran Courser and like a pile of other ways to, you know, utilize the top of your deck. So things like Domirade and Chandra in the main deck, like Power Master and stuff. So be able to take advantage of the information.
Man, I'm like Archangel of Thune is coming up really huge, right?
So, that's another combination, too, that green-white could potently use themselves. A lot of Bant lists are sort of building around that foundation as well.
Yeah.
But anyway, so he did well with that list, and I was looking at that and playing that for a while, and then I just, like, there's no way in hell that deck ever beats Mono Blue. Like, it's just literally impossible.
Okay.
And, because you just can't beat Master of Waves. And, And then Cedric Phillips came out with an article on Monday. He was talking about a deck that he played at a PTQ and he really enjoyed and was high on and stuff. So I'm like, all right, well, Cedric doesn't actually talk about decks unless he really, really legitimately likes them. Post this article on Monday on the select side of SCG, and it's Jund Monsters. And it's interesting because it's a splash also like for black instead of white, just like I was doing, and just for a couple of cards. Like the splash is literally a splash. There's never any more than like 1 point of black mana that you ever really need. And so you basically replace, you add in 8 shocks that produce black mana. And, you know, in combination with Sylvan Caryatid, it basically becomes totally fine. Like the splash is nothing.
Right.
So it's been pretty good. And so I had on my stream on Monday, I had Kent Ketter on it, actually, the guy from the SCG event that plays second with Monsters. And he's a super cool guy. He was wearing a Canada sweatshirt the entire time. It's from HBC. Nice. Stream went really well. He knows the game, you know, intimately. And he was actually working with Cedric and talking with him about the deck that Cedric was building. So he's got his own build, which runs Goreclan Rampagers, which Cedric is choosing not to run. And I really like it. I mean, you get removal that's like hard removal that actually kills shit, which gives you an edge in the mirror. And then also you get a lot more of it out of the sideboard, and your black cards are just way better against control than the green-red cards are.
Right.
So I'm pretty excited. It seems like it's going to be good. I mean, like, the deck plays 4 Dreadbore, dude. Like, wow. In the 75, like, Dreadbore. It's the last time you saw that card.
Yeah, that's a sorcery, that card.
Exactly. But I mean, like, you're tapping at every turn with this deck almost anyway, unless you're keeping up mana for like Reaper of the Wilds or something.
Right.
Or like a monstrous trigger. But otherwise, yeah, like Rakdos Return is a sick card against control.
Man, I forgot that was even a real card. Rakdos Return.
Yeah.
Oh,
so it's pretty good. And I'm excited with the deck. I mean, you get solutions like Ultimate Price,
yeah.
which you can use to solve, you know, Pelucranos in the Mirror. You know, Dreadboard is the same thing, but you know, you can also use that, obviously, to help alleviate Master Waves. You got Golgari Charm, which is also very good in that matchup, because it can either destroy Biden or, like, just kill a swarm of blue idiots. So, you know, you've got these cards which really help out in what traditionally have been some of the bad matchups, or some of the coin flip matchups, to really help push it over the edge. So, I really like the version with Rampagers, because you don't lose all of your sort of, like, aggression. Like Cedric's list with full book of Reapers and Coursers and Pelucranos and Dragons, like, it's very much a mid-range deck. Like, it's it's very clean, it's a mid-range list. But I feel like when you add the Rampagers, it makes your Coursers that much deadlier in game one. You can basically start swinging, you know, with impunity, and you just rampage and kill fucking anything.
Yeah, I'm still surprised that Gorklan Rampager isn't wasn't seen more, because like that card is just super good.
Yeah. So I've been pretty pleased with it. And you know, you get these bigger dragons, you get a higher threat density and better removal instead of having to play cards like Xenagos God of Rebels, Xenagos
Planeswalker,
because he's only moderately good in most matches and pretty good in one. You know?
Yeah.
So it feels like just some good upgrades, and the Courser of Krufix really helps to, especially with four of them in your deck, really helps to alleviate some of the punishment from playing 12 Shocklands.
Right.
Right? Because like you're gaining life every time they come into play, and it really helps to balance all of that out, and it really is the card that sort of Jund wanted.
Yeah, now they're just pain lands instead. And yeah, that makes a big difference.
Yeah, and I mean, even if they're coming into play tapped, you're still gaining the life, right? So, like, all in all, it almost washes itself out, and then you also get to see, like, a million fucking cards with it. So, you know, like, the number of cards that I'm seeing out of this deck for a deck that doesn't have a single draw a card phrase in it is pretty ridiculous. So,
we call that deck acceleration.
Yeah, so I like it. There's a lot of good card selection. You know, you got the Skylands and Domri and Courser playing lands off the top. Like, it's pretty good. And the ramp is...
Are you running Chandra?
No.
Yeah, because Chandra is pretty cheesy also with the being able to see your top card thing.
It's very good in that capacity, but it's just like, there's just too many other cards to play and just better sideboard cards. Chandra just really isn't as impressive enough in the main deck right now, I think, because there's not enough of those dumb aggro decks that are being played.
Yeah.
Right, and like she's basically embarrassing against mono blue or mono black. So, yeah, like she's good against black if you're ahead and they're threatening to stabilize and you need to like get past a demon to attack.
Yeah,
but like she does nothing on the turn she comes down, unless you're already ahead.
Mm.
So she's good, but unfortunately she's just really situational right now. And the side, I don't even have one in the sideboard right now, of the list I'm running.
So you're playing red-green monsters, or Naya monster?
Jund,
sorry, yes, you've switched to Jund because it's better.
Yeah.
Right. So, is that, like, a new deck, or was that, like, a tier 2 deck that became kind of better?
It's actually sort of new, because I don't think anyone was really playing Jund monsters.
Yeah, I was going to say, I didn't think so.
Yeah, it was kind of like a 2.5 deck, like, you'd see the odd one, like, it would get a stream every now and then.
Yeah.
But nobody ever actually played a tournament.
No.
Right.
But like green red was definitely one, like I said, one of the top few decks in the format. So yeah, so it's just like an evolution on that. So that's kind of sweet. Mono black, KYT can tell you about, because he played it at a PTQ this weekend.
Really? Let's talk about that.
Yeah. Well, I want to first comment on your stream, Scotty. It was pretty good. And I thought the guest was good. He had very strong opinions about a lot of things, which is very, I saw some watchers that didn't like him because he felt like he talked way too much, but I definitely enjoyed seeing him explain his choices a lot. So it was very, very, I definitely still disagree with him. I think that he's definitely downplaying the weakness of the Courser. Sure, like his deck, you know, has, he feels like it has just a lot of threats, so it doesn't matter what he draws off the top, because it's not like he's not going to play the threat.
Yeah.
But from my perspective, it definitely matters. If I have a Pack Rat and I know you don't have a Mizzium Mortars coming off the top, it matters. If I'm deciding between playing Lifebane Zombie or holding up removal, and I see that you have like a dragon off the top of the deck, and I know I'll need that for life, then I'll play completely differently.
True.
With the information, and that happened in a game. So I think he was downplaying the downside of Courser. I think it definitely is amazing in a lot of ways, but for me, when it comes to thought seizing and knowing the top of your deck and being able to play optimally, it does change my decision. It might not change the red-green player's decision, because he's just jamming threats, but definitely changes mine to be way more optimal than if I didn't know how many dragons that you're going to play against.
And that's very true. And it's interesting because the one thing I do find that Courser does allow me to do is, like, it feels like it makes the deck, the draws more consistent. Like, and more importantly, I guess the land drops become way more consistent, right?
Right.
And that's one of the most important things when we're talking about the deck, because if I get choked or bottled on mana, I lose, right? So especially in this deck, especially against mono black, right? Because I need as many of my resources as possible to do it. And yeah, it gives you information, but I mean, like, inevitably between Lifebane Zombie and fucking Thoughtseize, you're going to have most of the information anyway. So like, I agree with you completely with your assessment to say that it's a huge liability, but, and like, I'm kind of in the middle, you know. Kent's perspective is, who cares, we're just jamming threats. And your perspective is, no, it's really important because I have literal perfect information from day one. And like, that's fine. But like, you have near perfect information anyway after sideboard. Like, you're looking at my hand every three turns. Maybe less.
Right.
So, I mean, like, is it really that much of a liability? Like,
oh, yeah, yeah. It's, no, I don't know? Think it's,
I hear you. All I'm suggesting is that it's probably worth it.
Right. That's overall, it's worth it.
Yeah.
I can see it being worth it. I think I'm just saying that he came across as saying it doesn't matter. And sure. I'm just saying it does matter. And it does matter more than, like, it matters enough that it altered my decisions.
Yeah.
So is your deck still, you think, like, the best slash a tier one then?
I think my deck's definitely one of the top three decks, and it's still performing really well. And I just feel it's because, you know, I played a bunch of test games with our friend William Blondin, and it's just like going through a gauntlet and going through different decks, which is something I didn't really go through because I had played mono black every tournament I could in January. Like scrubbing out of PTQs, but then top eighting, and then finishing 11th at Vancouver. So I was just playing mono black, but jamming all the different decks, and we just realized that, like, by playing these mono colored decks and mono blue, mono black, definitely you mulligan a lot less, and that makes me favor this deck even more than I already have, and it's just really consistent, and I still. If the Toronto PTQ was tomorrow, this is probably the deck that I'm jamming. I played a PTQ in Ottawa this past weekend and started off 0-2. I lost against Orzhov decks both time, which is, you know, one of the few, I would say, slightly bad matches because of Blood Baron. I mean, if they stick it and you don't have Devour Flesh, you don't have an answer, or you're not able to race them with Grey Merchant, they're going to win. And now with Andy Peters and other people coming up with versions with Elspeth, like, they're just trading their discard spells and their removal spells with yours, and they have a higher end threat in Elspeth, which just, like, shuts down your Desecration Demon and everything else. So that tends to be a tough matchup. But I feel like a slight dog because I did beat Andy in the Swiss later on. So 1-0-2. But was able to win my next six to go 6-2 and finish 15th for half a box. So I paid for 8 rounds, and I'm sticking with that philosophy of playing all my rounds. I was very happy. I beat a Red Creep Monsters deck for in the final round, and it was an 18 listener, so
nice.
He was a really nice guy, and I'm like, he's like, I guess the loser finishes out of the prizes, and I'm like, yeah, I shrugged. I couldn't. I felt bad either way.
Yeah, but if he listens to the A-Team, he knows that you felt bad. Right? Like, you know what I mean? Like, he knows you're not scumming him or anything.
Like, game one was just like, he kept the hand where I just thought sees, and I see Domri, courser, and lands. And like, take the Domri and just, like, bash in and completely ignore the courser. So it was pretty good.
What's the power and toughness on courser?
2/4.
Oh, okay, that's actually a fairly good body.
It is.
Yeah. And 3-drop, it comes down on 2 after a Mystic, right?
Yeah, I was going to say, I thought it was like a 2-2 or a 3-3, but a 2-4, actually, that makes quite a difference.
It's insane against, like, aggressive strategies. I think it's a good thing card.
Yeah.
But, like, with my hand having a demon, it's like, you know, you're not going to get there with those three guys, no matter how many lands you draw. And overall, you know, I still love the deck, and we'll keep playing it. We did feature a deck last week on the show, Tom Ross's Jun deck, which we lost while recording 0-2, but two of my friends played it and they went 6-2 and felt the deck was pretty good. Maybe it was missing a little punch in it, but overall they felt really good about that deck, and it plays main deck Rakdos Return, Jay, so it's a pretty exciting card.
Wow.
But for me, like, now, like, people, it's funny how people are used to, I guess, me doing okay or reasonably well at tournaments. And when I'm going 0-2, and you know how all of your friends start asking your record?
Yeah, yeah.
I just don't want to say it, because I know if I say 0-2, they're not going to be like, okay, yeah, next time. They're just going to go like, what? Like,
yeah.
Really loud, and I expect it every time. It's like, fuck, man, I'm not gonna, like, you know, I'm not gonna just go 2-0 all the time.
Yeah.
It's pretty normal, but when, like, the eighth guy does it, I'm like, okay, I went 0-2. I just don't feel like saying my record anymore. But those people that laughed at my record finished worse than me at the end, so I got the last laugh.
Nice.
But I will be planning to play Jun more, and because I really like Rakdos Return, and I think Raska, I've tweeted that I think it might be the most underplayed card, in my opinion, because it's just so powerful. It's a house against blue-white, and it's just a house everywhere, I feel, where it just, like, kills, solves a lot of your problems, because it can kill anything but a land. Like they play Demon, you and Tap play Raska, kill the Demon, and it's still alive, it's still around to bug them, and I don't know, it just feels so powerful. So anything with Raska and Rakdos Return, I'm definitely going to look deep into it. Of course, we're missing the green-black Scry land to make the deck insane, because in our match on the episode, we just, like, drew infinite tap lands with Sylvan Caryatid in it, so that didn't really help.
No, it didn't. But, yeah, Vraska's a card that I keep wanting to find space for.
I think she's difficult at 5, I think, is a big problem that she has. I feel, anyway. I mean, like, with Caryatid and some ramp, I think it's not as bad, but I find that just she's in an awkward spot at 5.
I don't know. I think 5 is fine for her. Like, you know, it's kind of like, what else are you doing in that spot? Like, I know you're either dragoning, but you're, like, your defensive play is Vraska in that spot.
Yeah, I guess. But, I mean, like defensively, they can just ignore Vraska is the problem I have, right?
Well, they can just, that's the thing. Just attack, you blow something up at least. You,
right? Yeah. Yeah, that's true. You do get to.
And it's like they want to attack her so that, because the next turn, if she pluses, then she's threatening another blow up. And when they attack her that time, like, they actually lose their creature. So it's kind of like kill something and bog.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I keep wanting to play that card, but I can't find a space for her.
She's so sweet.
I know she is. It's so frustrating, though. Anyways, yeah, she's good. I think the issue is like, Tom Ross's deck, I know, has good space for it because he's not playing dragons, and his 5-drop slot is basically really lean otherwise. Whereas the list that I'm running is like full on four dragons.
Yeah, I think that's the weakness of his build is like his main win condition is Rakdos Return. And of course I think that's why, you know, my friends like may have been sideboarding them out, but that might be wrong in that deck because that it's main way to win. So if you mm-hmm. side that out, you're like fucked because like what are you gonna use to kill the other guy?
Yeah. Yeah, you can't rely on Demon reliably in that deck to kill people.
Mm-hmm, right.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it'll be interesting to play that card because people don't really expect it sometimes, and then they're just fucked.
Yeah. Yeah, I was able to crush my blue-white opponent today with a sideboarded, came into the Rakdos Return, he didn't see it coming, and yeah, I took him for his entire hand, and it was good times.
Yeah, it's just a brutal feeling when someone does that, you know?
Yeah.
Especially after, like, if you're playing, like, with Thought Seizes and stuff, it's just, like, you know, you Thought Seize them, then later you Rakdos them, and it's just like, ah, it's just good. Like, you just didn't even get to play Magic, you know?
Yeah. Black-red control, make it happen.
Yeah.
I had a buddy who actually was playing a Theros version of that.
I've seen some people trying to basically take mono black, and some people take mono black and they splash blue, and some people splash green. I have seen people splashing red, but literally for Rakdos Return in Dreadbore.
Yeah, my the guy I was talking about, he went more on like a mill strategy, and his whole game plan was like to kill everything, and then slaughter games a key card out of your deck, and he was just using elixirs.
To slaughter games every card.
Yeah, so he would just elixir, get all of his cards back, blow away your thing, try and hit a land drop every turn, and yeah, just slaughter games over and over and over again.
Wow.
He couldn't deal with, like, you know, like the one drop, two drop, three drop dead.
Sure.
But, like, with the new stuff that's in the set, like, I'd be very interested to see where his deck goes now with, like, the new Infest and some of the other, like, kill cards out there.
Chair, you what are you playing in standard?
Well, I've been doing a stream thing, which has been neat. This is the first night I haven't streamed this week, so that's something I wanted to do. I had mentioned before on the show that I want to give myself a reason to play Magic every day, and part of it is going to be is that, you know, like 8 o'clock my time, I want to jump on, play for like an hour, hour and a half, because I got to go to bed. But, you know, just jam a couple two-mans, you know, on the weekends that I have off, you know, maybe I'll run, like, bigger tournaments and stuff. So I've done, I did a release, and now I've done this red-green deck that just did not work out for me whatsoever. And I did an updated version of the Gerard Fabiano list that I took to Vancouver.
Mm-hmm.
And that one I couldn't lose with. Like, that deck was just nutty. Like, I get to play Brimaz in it, and I get to play Ephara, which is just, like, so unfair with Packrat.
Yeah.
Which is, like, you have all the mana in the world, and it's just, like, every turn you get to make a rat. You rat on your turn, rat on his turn, just keep drawing all these cards.
Oh, and then they fuel the Packrat, too.
Yeah, exactly. So, like, you can cast... If, like, in the spot of the game, I had, like, 9 land in play. So it's just, like, I can make 2 rats and Detention Sphere or whatever. And I can just, like, keep doing all of these, like, just, like, ridiculous things. And it was so much fun.
Oh, that's crazy. But,
like, I built it in paper and I brought it out to like a Saturday draft that they had. And just getting to play it, just like, it's so funny because it's like, you look at your hand, it's like, okay, I've got the pack rat plan. So honestly, I'm just going to chump check this guy. I'm going to throw out a pack rat. And if he can't deal with it, I'm just going to win that way. But if he does deal with it, it's like, I've got a Jace, I've got a Blood Baron, and I've got a Brimaz in my hand. It's like, okay, we got lots of angles. It's like, maybe I go into Ephara and I do some sort of thing where I'm getting creatures and drawing extra cards and getting an advantage there. Maybe it's just Blood Baron him out of the game. Maybe it's like Jace hit a Master of Waves and make a whole bunch of tokens and attack him that way. Like, it just attacks on so many angles. And then Brimaz is just, he's a really nutty card.
He is a very nutty card. He is why I am playing 4 Mizzium Mortars in my main deck.
Yeah, yeah, he's ridiculous.
So yeah, I was having a lot of fun with that.
Good. I think Brimaz is actually going to show up in Modern this weekend.
I do too. I always thought he was a better Modern card.
I think that's part of the issue that we're having. Like, in a format that's basically defined by Lightning Bolt and Lightning Helix.
Yeah. By three toughness.
Yeah, and like turn two. I feel like he's going to be pretty good.
Yeah.
Granted, I understand there's paths and there's all that shit, but I still think he's going to be pretty good.
I think him and our friend the Wild and the Cattle are going to be BFFs.
Yeah.
So I'm excited to see that.
Yeah. And that goes up live shortly-ish.
Yeah.
So that's going to be pretty pretty exciting.
Fuck work.
Yeah.
Oh, man, I have to work for the Canada-US hockey game tomorrow, too.
Oh, no.
Yeah, my lunchtime has been at the second intermission almost the entire, like, every game that's at, like, the, I guess it would be 8 yep. o'clock yours, or 12 o'clock your guys' time, 10 o'clock our time. I always am on lunch at the second intermission. So.
I have the dream scenario because my office is closing down, so we're just, all of us are just watching the game today.
Nobody
and it was
cares.
Epic. It was fucking epic, man. It was the best, like, most exciting hockey game I've watched in a while, just because we came back with, like, 4 minutes to go, down two, and then went in overtime. It was pure, like, the whole office went crazy, so that was really sweet.
Yeah, we were doing it, too, at our office.
Lucky. Must be nice.
I don't have any true insight about what Team Face-to-Face Games is playing. I know they've been testing. I know Zoo's been testing extremely well with everyone that I've talked to. And I know I've talked to GMAC a bit. You know, he wrote Twin off, but last I heard he might be trying to work on it again. But they have a pretty good Zoo list. I wonder if they're going to go there. I know Alex is not going to play Zoo, even if it's the best deck in the gauntlet. What's interesting is the other team that I talked to, the Max Brown, Dan Jordan, Brian Gottlieb deck, team, rather. Jared and Brian are actually going to play. They've told me that they're 99% going to play the Ad Nauseam Lightning Storm deck. And
what?
Which I have no clue.
No one's ever heard of this deck.
Jeremy?
If it's the one, like, Lightning Storm is where you can discard any number of cards to do damage, right?
No. Lightning Storm.
Lightning Storm is one colorless, two red. Lightning Storm deals X damage to target creature or player, where X is 3 plus the number of charge counters on it. Discard a land card, put 2 charge counters on Lightning Storm. You may choose a new target for it. Any player may play this ability, but only if Lightning Storm is on the stack.
Yeah. So you play Angelic Grace so that you can't die, and then you Ad Nauseam, and you draw your deck, and then you Lightning Storm him. And you discard all your lands, and you keep enough so that he can't redirect it to your face.
It's not a new deck, right? So
it's
I'm not...
No, it's a fringe combo deck. Like, there's lots of fringe combo decks. Yeah, it's like it's like the Angel's Grace Ad Nauseam list.
Yeah, I'm just wondering why they've decided to make this choice. If they have new tools, or if they believe... I know Brian wanted to attack the meta in a certain way, if he felt like maybe it wins faster than Zoo. I don't know. Maybe it goes off faster. I don't know. But they're pretty strong on playing it, so there's got to be something there.
Wow.
Yeah.
I guess it just depends what their supporting cards are, like, because they can use their supporting cards to do some attacking. But it's just like, I think they're gambling on fairies not really being a thing, because like that deck just gets like hosed by Spellstutter Sprite.
Yeah.
Right, and they're going with the philosophy of they don't want to, like, from their point of view, if they want to make a top 8, they have to go with a risky choice and not with like a safe choice that might give them like a 55% win rate. Like, if they can get this deck and get insane matchups, they're just going to top 8. So that's their philosophy. I know Dan Jordan said, Jared told me Dan Jordan's probably going to go to Twin, and Max Brown, who top 8ed 5 PTQs during Modern Season with Pod, is obviously probably going to be playing Pod. So regardless of the testing within the team, Jared lets me know that the Nauseam deck has been beating all those decks in their gauntlet testing. So it's going to be interesting. And don't know if Sam Pardy and obviously Josh McClain, if they're going to be on pod, and everyone's waiting to see like Alex Magelaton, if he is indeed going to come with Affinity once again. So lots of exciting stuff.
Well, so I got a message from Jason, Real Evil Genius, and he said that my brother has 4-0'd a daily each day for the past 3 days with Affinity Online.
Yeah, everybody's saying that Affinity's unbeatable.
Well, the problem is you have to dedicate yourself to beating Affinity, and I don't know whether people... like, I don't think people can reasonably sleep on it.
Right, right. I agree with that.
But, like, other decks were able to get a turn off of, like, Deathrite Shaman, just help them, you know, accelerate their plans. Whereas Affinity didn't lose anything to that. Like,
when did Deathrite Shaman get banned? Like, recently, right?
Yeah,
recently.
Like, was I out of the country?
This weekend you were away.
Yeah, when Born of the Gods came out.
So what else got banned in anything?
Nothing.
Sylvan Primordial in EDH. And Sylvan Primordial.
Oh my god.
What are your thoughts?
What a fucking garbage format they've turned that into. Holy shit. Jesus Christ. Like, blues? I mean, green's the worst fucking color. And they just keep banning every... like, oh, is that green card moderately good? Oh, they're fucking ban it. Better fucking ban that card. You can play every counter spell you want. Every degenerate black combo, infinite life, infinite mana, whatever. That's fine. You know, mana crypt, mana, soul ring, swords, whatever. But a fucking... a six vigilance reach? Is that what that guy is? 6-5? 5-6? What is that guy?
He's 6-8.
He's a 6-8 reach.
6-8 reach.
That kills something when it comes into play. That's too good.
The issue is that he kills everything when it comes into play.
Oh, yeah, I'm aware, but I mean...
like, it kills one... anyways, it's not just the killing, it's the ramping, I think, as well. And when you do both, it's fucking dirty.
It's a single forest. It's a single forest.
For each thing you kill. And it's a shock... yeah, green creature. Anyways.
I love it.
Oh,
do you have any Bitter Blossoms?
Yeah.
Because they're like $100 or something.
Yay!
Judge Foil Noble Hierarchs?
I have that.
And also $100.
Yay!
Yay!
Yay! I went away and I came home to money. Fuck yeah. Yes. Fucking right. Sweet.
Yeah, Wild Nacatl and Bitter Blossom are back. And
really?
With Wild Nacatl being back, Zoo is back.
Wow.
So, Jeremy, you played, I think when you played Eggs, when we had the whole team mana A and B monikers.
Yes.
I think Alex played, their team played Affinity.
Yes, their team was on Affinity.
Okay, so it's not too crazy to expect Alex to play an aggressive deck, but he probably won't, but it won't be the first time.
Well, Affinity is one of the, like, modern combo decks, in a sense.
Right, right, right.
You know, like, it plays out very similar to that, and it's, like, understanding how to maximize all of your resources, because they're not very good cards. Mm-hmm. It's just, it's like playing, like, mono blue, where it's, like, you have some powerful cards mixed with all of your shitty cards. And it's all about sequencing, and it's all about making sure that you kind of, like, get the right guys out and go do everything in the right order, because... you can't afford to lose resources. And, like, that's one of the strong things is that, like, Jund was always able to, you know, like, they had the ability to get a Liliana on turn two and make you sacrifice something that might have been important, you know? Or, you know, like, having you discard cards where, like, that could really affect you because you've already dumped all of your hand. And the only thing left in your hand is, like, you know, a, what's the, like...
Master?
A master or a artifact that makes your creature...
Cranial plating.
I don't actually know the names of Magic cards. I think it's because I only buy.
I think it's because
cards.
You're a judge. Yeah.
No, I don't think that has anything to do with it.
And you like played Eggs, and you're like, "Fuck you! It doesn't matter what you play.
Yeah.
I'm just gonna egg you out like, like a fucking
but
boss."
Like, you know, like to go to those guys who are talking about like playing combo and stuff like that. Like that's how we kind of got to Eggs. It's like, hey, I've got this degenerate deck. Let's try it out. And it's like, this is so, like, unfair. You know, like, they wanted to play Storm. It's like, oh, if you think Storm's unfair, try Eggs. Like, it's completely unfair. And you also get, like, the aspect that, like, people just don't know how to play against it, right? Like, they're going to run into, like, where they're going to win, like, all of the matches on day one because their opponents are going to have no idea what's going on.
Yeah, I fucked up at a GP in Columbus. I day two'd with Red Green Tron, but one of my losses was against Eggs, where I just, like, I think I had an Oblivion Stone, and I just didn't know what to do with it. I'm like, what's going on? So that's going to happen for sure.
Yeah. So, and, like, I ran into that, like, playing against a Jund guy who, like, Grafdigger's Cage against my Eggs deck. And, you know, did it with, like, a big smug smile, and then I just proceeded to, like, go off the next turn and kill him, because Grafdigger's Cage does nothing. Might as well have been a fucking ivory tower. Like, the card is just, yeah. It says graveyard on it, so they think they're good. Whoops.
Guess again, idiots.
Bam!
Suck on it.
I've seen him at other GPs, and, like, there's one point where it's like, I would love to walk up to him and it's like, hey, do you remember me from the Pro Tour? Yeah, it's like, you remember when you cast Grafdigger's Cage and I was playing Eggs, and then I went off and it took me 10 minutes and I watched you cry? And then walk.
Man, that was very scummy. You've gotten salty since I've come back.
It's beautiful, man. It's
I like
beautiful.
The new Salty Jeremy.
Salty Jeremy. Oh, I'm salty about whiny bitches on Facebook who
can't get
the fact that somebody made a mistake in a GP.
Boom.
Yeah, that.
I didn't see what you're talking about, but I did hear about it. Sort of.
I tried to watch the match again, and I didn't even see. And I, like, went back and watched it three times. I still couldn't see what happened.
Okay, so essentially, like, they were playing in a Delver flip. There was, like, two cards revealed. So a judge had to come in, and they had to do all their judge-fixing things and all that kind of stuff. And then right after that kind of happened, Buddy goes and casts Brainstorm. He draws his three cards. He goes through the thought process, and he puts one card back. He doesn't put two cards back. He only puts one card back.
Filthy cheater.
And he ends up winning that match and then winning the tournament altogether. So, and after the fact, nobody caught it. Nobody saw the Brainstorm thing, but it was an after the fact that somebody was like, you know, this guy cheated.
Mm.
So there's been, like, this very interesting debate. And, like, I know on the Facebook groups that I'm a part of, it's been brought up everywhere. I know some of, like, the more prolific people, like Drew Levin, had, like, a talk about it. Like, you know, like, there's the guys who live for these moments and have, like, you know, these great debates and everything like that when this stuff comes up. But in the personal groups I was in, there's a lot of people who are just like, this guy is an established player who knows what he's doing. He cheated. You know, this guy is a legacy grinder. He plays Brainstorm all the time. He cheated. And then the judges who are in there saying, he may not have cheated. He may have made a mistake. People make mistakes. It's a very, like, thing where it's like, were the rules broken? Yes. But just because the rules were broken doesn't mean that the person's a cheater. It just means the person made a mistake. And that happens. This is Magic. It's a very difficult game. It's not Magic Online. So if you're, like, a Magic Online person, Magic Online doesn't let you make mistakes. Yeah. It lets you make mistakes procedurally, in which case it's like you F2'd through something and now you can't get your turn back, or you hit the, yes, I'd like to sack something, to Desecration Demon, but didn't actually want to sack anything to Desecration Demon. They just put the twice. Okay for end of priority and yes on the same spot, so if you double click, you sack, and you can't go unsack, and it just sits there and locks you out until you choose one of your creatures to get rid of, which is just fucking tilting.
Yeah, I've done that twice.
Yeah, so, you know, you got, like, that kind of stuff, and then you have, like, real Magic, where it's like, people make mistakes. You know, like, this is the part where it's like, if you make a mistake, you call a judge over, the judge tries to fix it. If you don't notice the mistake, like, you don't notice the mistake. And if your opponent notices the mistake, then, you know, all of a sudden things come into it. And a big part of that, and a big part of, like, GP judging and stuff like that, a skill that is given to judges and honed within judges, is the ability to do an investigation, ask questions. Like, when a judge comes over to the table, you want to get right into, this is what happened. And the judge is going to be like, whoa, I'm going to ask you questions, because the judge wants to try and figure out what's happening, figure out people's mindsets. And, like, that's been the toughest part about this whole thing, is that you see these guys who are playing a game. You can't hear what's being said. You can't hear if they're talking to each other. you don't really know what's going on. You don't know what's going through the guy's head. You don't know if they're having a conversation, they're distracted or something like that. You do know that a judge call just happened, so the judges at the table are all talking to each other, making sure they got the call right, and all this stuff, and the focus is just elsewhere. So it's like, did the guy exploit that, or was his focus elsewhere? But a lot of people are just like, no, he cheated, you should take away the win from him, get rid of him, get rid of cheaters' magic. If you don't agree with this, you don't, you support cheaters. And it's just like, well, he made a mistake. Maybe he goes and does something like Bert and Cheney does after the fact and brags about, you know, pulling a fast one, in which case then it's like, okay, well, this is a cheater mindset. Let's nail him for cheating. But I don't know. I'm really upset with like kind of like the people that are in my social circles who are just like so quick to string this guy up. So much so to the point where it's like, I just want to like write down quotes from these guys and then wait until I'm judging an event and like wait for them to like have somebody second land and say, hey, you've been playing Magic for 12 years. You've been playing lands, you know, every game that you've played, hopefully, you shouldn't be playing a second land. You know how that works. Like, you're cheating. There's 0% chance you made a mistake. You've been doing this so long. You must be cheating. And it's like, you know, like just kind of put people into that situation where like they get outside of their head and like put down the pitchfork and stop the circle jerk and just actually think. So that's my rant.
Man, that'd be painful jerking it with a fucking pitchfork. My God, Jeremy. But I get it. That's what it feels like sometimes.
Yeah, I cast a Geist with just a Hallow Fountain.
Yeah, you fucking dirty cheater.
100% cheater. You have cast Geist any times.
You know how much mana costs? You know how much work lands do?
You know what? You know what? KYT.
I didn't know shit.
You're a fucking scumbag.
Yeah,
I didn't know
you're
shit.
Off the cast. Get out of my sight. Shit, man. Fucking dirty garbage head.
So, I know, like, a part of it that really didn't help was that Wizards kind of, like, made the impression that they're going to do something about it by, like, taking down the standings page. And, like, this is part of, like, one of those things where it's, like, again, U.S. listeners, I'm a Canadian, I love hockey. One of the things that the NHL does now is when they issue suspensions and bans, they actually have the person who's, like, the head honcho of it make a video and explain why. They go through what happened, they tell the story, and they tell you why they came to that decision. And it's been so awesome for hockey in the last 2 years, like, that they've been doing this. Because, like, you don't have any more of these bullshit conversations. Whereas, like, right now, you have people who get banned. They tell you their side of the story, and their side of the story, they're a fucking saint. But we never hear Wizard's side of the story, so everyone's like, oh, Wizard's corrupt, you know? So it was, like, even, like, there was a guy who was DQ'd out of the top eight of that very same tournament. And, like, the Twitch chat was just, like, ridiculous, where it's like, oh, they didn't have any pros in the top eight, so they had to squeeze PV in, so they had to ban somebody, so that's what they did. They should give top eight flights to all of the guys who that guy played in the tournament, because he was a cheater, cheaty face. And it's just like, shut up.
Seriously, like, there's a reason that nobody ever reads that chat.
I know, I feel bad for AJ Soccer, because he's, like, a moderator.
Yeah.
He's a mod for that chat.
Fuck.
His fingers stay busy. Click, ban, click, ban, absolutely. Click, ban, 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 click, 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 ban. Yeah.
I would love to have, like, the after-hours commentating on the Twitch chat. Like, commentator for the Twitch chat.
Yeah.
Jay, we gotta do that, I think.
Oh,
I think,
man, that would be that would be actually sweet.
And I think we need to do commentating for the Twitch chat of a major Magic event.
That'd be wicked, actually. I'll do that. I'll do that right now. I'm down.
Beautiful. We got to make that happen.
Well, it can't be any worse than our cube draft videos.
Yeah, they didn't work out.
What happened?
Did they ever get posted?
No. I pretty suck at porting, so I did something terribly wrong with them. We'll have to just try again. I've got this whole streaming thing figured out a lot better.
Well, that's good.
I'm doing this, so we're getting steps. We're making progress.
Sweet.
So now I just have to make sure I have the right, like, video software to convert it into things. Yeah. Chicka chicka. So what's going on in the future here? What do we got coming up, guys?
Well, we're going to wait and see who wins the Pro Tour.
Okay.
And then
who's going to win?
I don't care.
Pro Tour.
What?
Well, we'll do a Pro Tour fantasy draft. One player.
What format is it?
It's Modern.
Ugh.
But the thing is, it's still Modern and Limited. So a lot of these people that are Modern aficionados may not necessarily be as good at Limited.
Right. Okay.
So although like it would be a sweet pick to say, let's take Sam Pardee on Malirapod. I have no idea how good he is at Limited.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like Alex, Madeljohn?
Yeah.
Yeah. Ace with Affinity, arguably one of the probably more underplayed and criminally good decks in the format. No idea how good he is at Limited. So, I don't know. Like, I feel like the best Limited testing environments are probably going to be... like, I would imagine some of the top Limited players are going to come out of the super teams, the CFB super teams. So, I don't know. I'd be hard... I don't know, man. It's a tough call. KYT, who are you picking?
KYT with the first pick.
We'll have to go with my boy, because I think he's good in Constructed, and he has Limited chops, so I can't go...
Take John Stern?
I was waiting for that. I was so waiting for that.
I definitely think my heart is definitely on Alex, but there's definitely a lot of good choices. Like, John Finkel, last time he played, like, Blue-Red Storm, and I believe he top 16 that PT.
And that was a hostile PT because there were Deathrite Shamans everywhere.
Yeah. Right. And he's like, so I expect him to be insane and Constructed. And obviously he has Limited chops himself. So he's going to be a threat this weekend. And the others, like, yeah, I'm with you. There's a lot of people that haven't shown to have Limited success or usually just top 16 or top 30. Like, shout out Yasuoka is going to have, like, a sick brew probably, but Limited has always been his weakness and the reason he's never been able to clinch top 8 as consistently as he would have liked.
Mm-hmm. So how do you feel then about... So Ben Stark, for example, a Limited master.
Right, and when he has a deck he likes, like in Pro Tour Montreal with, was it Blue-White... Was it Esper even?
Yeah, it was Esper.
Yeah, yeah. And he was able to find success with that. So he's definitely a threat.
Yeah. That's what I'm wondering. Like, if CFB... I guess it's going to come down to both sides, right? Like, who solves the Limited format and who's got... who brings the right deck. So I like your pick of Finkel. I think it's a good one.
But, listening to Top 8 Magic and hearing that Finkel is calling Tom Martell the best player right now, and is... It's possibly true. He has one of the best records in recent memory.
True.
On the Pro Tour level. So it's actually crazy that it's not that crazy, rather, that Finkel considers him the best player right now. So lots of good choices. And he did well with Aristocrats last time.
Yep.
So we'll see what happens. But yeah, you're right. Definitely need some Limited game to make it to the top 8.
So pick a player.
I'm Hayne. Hayne's my guy.
Number 14, Hayne.
Number 14. It's not like out of left field anymore, now that he's on like the top 25. It's not like he's like a legitimate pick now, not like a homer pick.
A homer pick.
JJ Boosh.
I gotta take Tom for sure.
Fuck! Number 7, Tom.
Number 7.
Scotty Mac.
Oh no, go ahead.
Oh, okay. I'm gonna go off the board.
No, come on, you have to back Shenhar. That's your boy. He's got Moxie.
He's got Moxie. Shahar is actually, like, first pickable. Super first pickable.
But you're not taking him.
No, I'm going to go with Deltora.
Oh.
Oh, you think now that she's, like, riding the right train, she's going to get there?
She's got the right train, and she's got the black-white tokens. The train is the French team, right?
So,
Wow. Yeah.
That's a lofty pick. I mean,
I think white black tokens with Bitter Blossom. Like, I think she's just gonna like have like.
But you're assuming plays that, right?
Yeah, she plays like white black tokens. Like that's her modern deck. Like, that's what she's played. She's extremely good at it. She's played it very, very well at, like, all kinds of modern GPs. And now she's got Bitter Blossom, which is just, like, a two-drop that deck definitely needed.
Yeah.
And then she's got, like, the great testing team, like, you know, now that they've kind of got, like, the revolution thing going on.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. That's not bad. That's not bad. Hopefully her mind is straight and she's ready to knock it down. Like, that's great. It's a good pick. I guess I... Like, do I just pick Finkel? Do I just say that Storm is actually a good deck and it could take it all down? Like,
you know, best player of all time.
I mean, like, that could be fine, but
the Duke is
like, how do I not? That's the thing, right? Like, how do you not pick the Duke? Like, he's due. So, he hasn't done a lot.
Do we snake draft this thing and just go to the second round?
You can pick two, you Scott. Pick two.
Do I get two?
Yeah, you get two. It's snake.
Oh God. Okay, so you know what? I'm fucking going old school this time. My first pick is Finkel. My second pick is Huey Jensen.
Okay.
Oh, you're going one part of the Peach Garden.
I was gonna go deep. I would take all three of them, but I'm gonna go old school. I'm gonna go old school this week.
Okay, well, then I gotta take Shahashinar. It's got Moxie.
Jay, you can just pick Owen.
Is he gonna be there?
Yeah.
Alright, I'll pick him.
I knew it. I'll go a guy who, like, used to be, like, 100% number one overall, but has since fallen off because of his job. LSV. I'll go with him.
Yeah, that's good.
Going with LSV.
Yeah, gotta hope. Gotta hope. But and PV, man. It used to be PV, LSV, easy. Yeah. Easy first round picks, but no longer. So
I don't think either one of them have devoted the time lately, which is the issue. And as a result, I just don't think, like, it sounds, this is ridiculous to say, but, like, they're not as sharp as they used to be. Like, mm-hmm. And this is ridiculous. Like, you realize that we're talking about, like, microns of sharpness. Like LSV could forget everything he knows about Magic and still be better than any PTQ grinder, any fucking 8 PTQ grinders in combination. Like, but is he in the same form as the guy who went 16-0? Like, I don't know, you know?
Well, it's also, like, taking shots, like, the borderline shot at, like, PV when he, like, just casually goes to the Legacy GP because he's already, like, in Europe and just top 8s it, like, out of nowhere. Like, just... I'm sure he didn't even test for that tournament.
True.
One of the things Team Face is doing that's really interesting is they published a picture of their draft board of everyone on their team doing, like, the same thing that we're doing.
Yeah.
But what people don't realize, like, AJ Soccer made a comment and he said, that's probably, like, the worst draft I've ever seen. And it's the brilliance of, I think Alex told me he created it, but what they're doing, because you see a lot of names that shouldn't be drafted no matter how crazy or drunk you are. Like, the order just doesn't make sense at all. And what they're doing is a high-low draft.
Oh, no.
So, like, you can either win the high end or the low end. So that's why, like, some players, they're picking themselves or people that, you know, haven't had much Pro Tour success because they're going for the low to win the low part.
Do you have a link to this picture?
Yeah, it's on Alex Magilaton's Facebook, and I've retweeted it.
Yeah.
But it's just funny that the pool works that way. So they're they're picking these players that, like, some of them I've never even heard of, and it's just like, oh, okay, now I know. Oh, I'm like, this is a troll, right, Alex? But they're gonna reveal. They haven't revealed it yet, but they will after the Pro Tour. The rules behind this PT, this draft that they did. So it's pretty funny.
Nice.
Well, I think we also missed on Brian Kibler. I think Brian Kibler would have actually been. I think Brian Kibler with Wild McCottle is a threat.
True. Yeah, I think I mean, he says he's feeling good about it. I'd like to see Willie do well too, of course. But
build up on his Hall of Fame resume.
Yeah, seriously, and that's why I think I want him. Like, I really want him to at least top eight. Because I really want him to be able to do that. So, he deserves it. Yeah, it'll be sweet. It'll be sweet. I'm looking forward to watching coverage. I tend to really like the Pro Tour coverage. They tend to really do a good job. So, I'll be watching that. And it's nice because I don't have to watch it live. I can skip through all the crap that's terrible.
Oh man, that's sweet.
So, anyways, so I guess that is that it. Is that it for the night? Like, are
that's
we?
It.
Yeah, yeah.
Are we done?
Kyle's like, this better be it.
Yeah. Fuck you guys.
Oh man, I totally forgot about Kyle. Hi, Kyle. Fucking Kyle.
That is the nicest that he will be to you, Kyle, for a while.
He is coming to GB Montreal with Avery, so I'm really excited that he's able to.
Oh, I hope they're not going to be on the train.
I don't know. Is he coming? Is he coming just with Avery? I thought he's bringing the whole brood.
No, no, it's just going to be with Avery. So Shannon's quite jealous, she wanted to come down to Montreal as well, but I guess they couldn't make it happen. But really excited to see the guy, and. You know, just recently posted a picture of me at the beer marketplace for the first time. I think it's a chain.
I think
they have one in Toronto.
They do. So it's awesome.
It was pretty awesome. Well, for me, who's like just totally new at all these different beers and just seeing them and tasting a bunch of them, it was definitely a sweet experience. And I know Kyle's like a big beer guy. So we'll see if we'll...
I wasn't kidding when I posted that. It sounds like Friday.
Yeah. Sweet, yeah. Sweet.
Yeah. Well, I'll be so drunk at that point, it won't matter anyway.
Yeah, like, that's the thing. I don't want to, if Avery's going to be on the train, I don't want to be slobbering drunk in front of Avery. Good kid.
I'm sorry. Do you actually believe that he's impressionable to you? Like you make an impression on him?
I feel like a broken clock could be right twice a day. One time that he like looks up to me or something like that, and it's just like, this is what I have to give him.
That's fair. That's fair. All right. Well, I guess that's episode 168 in the books.
Mm-hmm.
Jay, welcome back. We like to have you.
Thanks. Right.
We missed you terribly.
Yeah, it was weird not being a part of the world for so long. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Love you too, buddy.
Yeah. All right. We'll talk to you all next week. See you later.
Peace.
See you
guys.
Peace.
March.